we can gather together like this this morning in such freedom in South Africa, that as we gather together, that the name of Jesus is lifted up in this place this morning, that all the praise and all the honor and all the glory go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Jesus, we exalt you, we glorify you in this place, and Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us this morning. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, are we expectant, folks? Are we expectant? We should be when we come to church. When we gather together like this. The Bible says where two or three of us are gathered, He's in our midst. So, there's more than two or three of us here this morning. So, the Lord is with us today. It's a bit of an unusual message that I'm going to be sharing here this morning. But I do believe it's a message that we all need to hear. We need to hear so that we, are exposed to the full counsel of God, that we know everything that's in the Word of God, and that we are not those that seem to, you know, cherry pick what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. So it is, for me, it's a very important message, but it is also a message that, well, I'll share as we go along. All right. Very important that we know what I'm going to be sharing about today, that we have a real good understanding. So I want to start off this morning with how many of you have noticed that there is a lot of talk recently about angels appearing to people? You know, you get into the Christian magazines and they're talking about angels appearing. You know, even people from different religions even, where angels are appearing to people in different parts of the world. There seems to be a lot of that happening at the moment. If you've got your ear, you know, kind of to the ground and hear what's going on in different circles. And I was just reading a whole lot of about this during the course of the week, and it got me thinking on what to share about today. And I decided that this is something that we need to hear and remind ourselves of. This is something what I'm sharing today. I know I have shared probably three and a half, maybe four years ago. I don't know how long ago. And it'll be something I'll be sharing maybe in another 4 years' time. But it is something that we need to know. So that's what we're going to speak about today. But before I even start, I want to ask us a question. Do you believe that there is an unseen spiritual realm out there? Do you believe that? You really believe that? Because the truth is that there is. Whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, the truth is, according to the Word of God, that there is. And there are spiritual beings in this place right now. If you could look into the spiritual realm, you would see the angels that encamp around Eddie and around different people sitting here today. You would see the angels. You would also see in the spiritual realm a whole lot of demons and evil spirits and all of that sort of stuff. But we don't really see that. From time to time, people, their eyes are opened, and we see examples in the Bible where God opened the eyes of men and women to see into the spiritual realm. But we are not kind of part of that realm, so we don't see it. But it doesn't mean because we don't see it that it doesn't exist. Is that true? So there are spiritual beings, as I say, in this place right now that the human eye is not able to see. And the Bible is very, very clear when it comes to the issue of the spiritual realm. Very, very clear. There's a lot of scripture in there. And, you know, I find it absolutely amazing that the world out there does not believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the Bible. The world out there does not believe in biblical doctrine. The world out there, many do not believe that there's a God, and they do not believe in the God of all creation. But over the last few years, you know, we've seen, like I'm saying, manifestations of angels and all these sort of things, and it somehow has grabbed the world. The world loved that, you know. The world loved it when you know, you start to talk about angels and demons and all of this. Get very excited about it, but they don't want to, you know, be exposed to the creator of all things. I just find it amazing. So what we're finding right now is Hollywood is very busy. Busy making movies about all of these things. And you go onto television, you know, talk shows, and on these talk shows you'll see people having these discussions about angels and demons and all of these sort of things. And there's TV series. That's a new thing. You know, you turn on your just TV series about all of this. So these people out there, you know, the world, when I say the world, these are people that are not saved. They might not want to hear about the Lord Jesus. They might not want to hear about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But man, you talk about angels and demons, you know, they get very interested. Is that true? Okay. And of course, you know, when you speak about these things, it's always an issue where, you know, it can cause a whole lot of sensation when you talk about them. But let me say this, for you and I who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, angels and demons and all of that, the spiritual realm, is a biblical truth. It's a biblical truth. So today I want to speak about angels, just so that we get a better understanding. Like I said, this is not something that we have to focus on, and I'm going to kind of try to confirm that on an ongoing basis right throughout this morning, but it is something that all of us as believers should know about. Amen? And I'll tell us why right now. So the title of this message is The Ministry of Angels. Now, angels exist and angels are active on planet Earth. Whether you and I believe it or not, they are. And I do believe, folks, that it's important, as I say, that we get a good understanding of this because it is in the Bible and it is my responsibility to teach the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God. So there are times we focus on these sort of things. And there is so much in the Bible about angels and you know, the demonic realm and the spiritual realm and all of those things. There is so much in there, in the Bible, that we cannot neglect it. We cannot not focus or at least talk about it from time to time. So it's good that we know what the Word of God actually says about angels. Is that true? We need to know this. But, now here I come for the round one of it. We must not focus on this. This is a message that we need to hear, but folks, we don't focus on angels. We don't focus on demons. There are too many people looking around. There's a demon behind every bush. Right? And it's all about that. This angel appeared and that. Yeah. We need to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we focus on. On Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And it's interesting to note too that Jesus believed in angels because he referred to them on numerous occasions. And angels, now listen to this, it's quite interesting. Angels are mentioned in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation more than 250 times throughout the Bible. And like I said last week, if it is in the Word of God, we can trust it and we can believe it because the Word of God is written under the anointing, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we can believe it if it's in the Word of God. So let's now just have a look at this morning. The word angel, what does it mean? What does the word angel mean? First of all, the word is angelos, which is a Greek word, right? Am I right, brother? There we go. Right. You mean you don't speak Greek? You do. All right. Am I right? There we go. Confirmation from you guys. So it is a Greek word. It's a Greek word, and the obviously the word is angelos, and what it means is messenger. This is not complicated. The word angel means a messenger. So then we need to ask ourselves a question, you know, why did God create angels? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Thank you. They were created, and we'll look at Scripture now, to worship and to serve Him. We see in Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word." So firstly, we can see angels are those mighty ones that do the word of God. And then it goes on to say, obeying the voice of His word. So they do the word and they are obedient as well. And then verse 21 says, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. So that kind of explains, well, gives us a good description of what angels are all about, right? So they do his word, they obey the voice of the Lord in doing his word, and they do his will. Now it's interesting, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, you are the Lord, you alone. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made, now watch here, because people get confused right here. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, angels, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the hosts of heaven, which are angels, worship you. Now, there's two things I want to say that are important. That if you read that, that God created the angels. And God not only created the angels, God created the archangels as well. So God, with God there is no beginning and there's no end, but with angels, because they were created by God, they have a start, right? So that's a very important thing, because some people, you know, just think that, well, the angels are like God. You know, they just, because they're in the heavenly realm, therefore they've been around, you know, as long as God. That is not the case. God created, it says right there, the angels. And it says, and the host of heaven, which are the angels, worship you. So they are created to worship God. Now, here's an interesting question. How many angels or angelic beings are referred to in the Bible by name? Let's just have a look at it. It's quite interesting. The Bible, of course, it speaks about heavenly hosts. The Bible speaks about heavenly dignitaries, which are called archangels. Now, these are the important angels, right? You've got angels and you've got archangels. And again, it's important to know that even the archangels were created by God. Right. So what does the word arch actually mean? Anybody know? Chief. Means chief. So these are the chief angels, right? So the first archangel that we're going to have a look at is an archangel by the name of Lucifer. Now, Lucifer's name actually means, as Lucifer, it means day star. And he's no longer called day star. He's now called Satan, or he's called the devil. And the Bible says, when speaking about Lucifer, this archangel that he was created, he was incredibly beautiful. And the Bible also says that it was like he had musical instruments within his beings. And it also implies that this Lucifer, this archangel, was responsible for the praise and the worship that took place in the heavenlies. Right, he led all of that. But there was a problem with Lucy. Okay. This archangel, because God created it so beautifully, you know, it started kind of strutting its stuff, you know, and realized how beautiful it was. And the Bible says because of its beauty or his beauty, that pride was found in him. So as a result of pride being found in an archangel, he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven. So I just want to pick this up now, first of all, in the New Testament, and I'll show you in the Old Testament as well. In Revelation 12, verse 7, let's see what the Bible says about Lucifer. It says, now war arose in heaven. And Michael, now I'm going to speak more about Michael because Michael is another archangel, right? And it says, Michael and his angels, which are obviously the angels of God, fighting against the dragon. Now there's another name for Satan, the dragon. And the dragon and his angels, which are demons and evil spirits, they fought back. So there was a battle taking place in the heavenlies. And, you know, when you study this, and it's a good idea to go and read, I'll give, you know, this portion of scripture, because what happened here, that when pride was found in Lucifer, he decided that he could overthrow God, that he could elevate himself above the Creator. And he must have been very, very, very convincing, because he then went along and he was able to convince, the Bible says, a third of the angels to back him. Okay, Lucifer, we back you. We're with you. You can go and read about that. Now, let's carry on. Verse 8. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon, which is another name for Satan, was thrown down, the ancient serpent, another name for him, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Folks, you better know that, that he is the deceiver of the whole world, and the deception, that all that he wants to do, I'll give it to you in a nutshell, he wants to make sure that the people that God creates do not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the bottom line. He does not want anybody to go to heaven, and he wants everybody to join him ultimately in going to hell. That's his plan. And that's why he is the deceiver. He deceives people. And you know, have you ever spoken to somebody, you know, when some people, when you speak to them about, you know, God and the God of creation, when you speak to them about Jesus, it's just like, just a blank look comes over their face. They have been totally deceived. And this is what Satan is busy doing, him and his cohorts here on planet Earth. The deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And that is the third of the angels, the Bible tells us there, right? Which are obviously, they were angels, now they are demons and evil spirits. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brothers, or the accuser of the brethren, this is something that he does. He lays condemnation and guilt on God's people. The accuser, continually accusing brothers and sisters in Christ. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. This is our enemy. This is the main enemy that we need to be fighting against. Verse 11. And they, Christians, have conquered them. We need to know that we have authority over this demon, or the demons, evil spirits, and so on. Have conquered. How do we conquer? It says, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, and by the word of their testimony. Folks, I want to tell you that every one of us that are sitting here today that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have a testimony. And there is something that's incredible about your testimony. Because when you share your testimony, it's anointed. It's powerful. I mean, we see in the scripture right there, we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So this is, of course, you know, is victory through the blood of Jesus and through what our own testimony as well. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you. So the devil is now on planet Earth. He's been cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. Some of those are demons that operate, you know, they're earthbound demons. Some of them are kind of still in the heavenlies. They're able to fly around and all of those things. Because he knows that his time is short. No, sorry, let me go back. It says, but woe to you, earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. The devil is angry. And as he gets closer to the end, as we get closer to the end where his time is, you know, done and dusted, he is showing his anger and he's doing his utmost. Remember that he knows the word. He knows what's coming. So he is very, very busy out there, and the Bible says he is angry because he knows that his time is short. Again, we have authority over the works of the evil one. All authority Jesus has given us. The Bible says in James, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And folks, go and look at that word flee. It's as in terror. When we rise up in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the evil one just backs off and actually runs. That's what it says. All right, so that's what the New Testament says. I just want to read a verse out of the Old Testament as well. I'm reading Isaiah 14, verse 12, and it says, how you have fallen from heaven, you morning star. That's his name, as Lucifer, son of the dawn. How you have been cut down to the ground, you conqueror of nations. We can see even in the Old Testament, it talks about the evil one operating on planet Earth and doing his utmost to conquer nations. And folks, he's been successful in many nations where he has caused such upheaval between people that there are wars taking place as a result of all that he's doing. So that is the first one that is called by name. Amen. There's another couple. The second angel that is mentioned by name is Michael. And his name means, who is like God? Who is like God? And it's interesting because now Michael, he is the warrior archangel. And he would appear whenever there was a battle about to take place, a battle in the heavenlies, or maybe there was a pending battle in the heavenlies, but Michael would be there. And we see that in Scripture, and he would be there with his army as well. We see in Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, then war broke out in heaven. We are here on earth, but there are battles taking place in heaven. War broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels had to fight a war with the serpent. There's another name for the devil. The serpent and its angels fought as well. So that we can see that there was a battle taking place. What about that portion of scripture we see in Daniel 12, verse 1? Very interesting. It says, I'll read it to us. The person who looked like a man continued, and at that time, Michael, there he is again, this archangel, the great commander. So the Bible talks about Michael, who's an archangel, talks about him being a great commander, will stand up on behalf of the descendants of your people. This warrior angel will stand up for you. And it will be a time of trouble unlike any that existed from the time that they have been nations until that time. But at that time, your people, everyone written in the book, will be rescued. So here's my opportunity to really talk about what we should be talking about today. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name written there? Are you 100% sure that you have received salvation? Are you 100% sure that you are a child of God? Or, like we were saying in our prayer meeting, so many people attending churches on a Sunday morning, not born again. They're doing it because they are religious. They are doing it, many people, because their parents went to church, they go to church, but never have stepped out and opened up their mouth and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That is how we get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, by receiving Jesus. Is your name there? Just ask him. Is it written in the Lamb's Book? And if you sit in here and say, well, you know, I think so, I would say it's not. Because you need to know that you know that you know that you're saved. And if you think you're saved, better be sure. Amen. Do we agree? Right. Then there's another angel. Who knows what his name is? Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is also an archangel, and his name means God is mighty. God is mighty. And Gabriel is the messenger angel. Right, whenever God had a message that he wanted to pass on to man or to somebody, he would send Gabriel, this archangel. So he was a messenger angel that carried divine communication to man. And we see him in the situation, do you remember with Elizabeth? It was Elizabeth that gave birth to John the Baptist. And it was quite interesting because Gabriel went to her husband, and his name is Zechariah. So this, I'll read it to you. This is Luke 1 verse 18. But the point I'm making that Gabriel is responsible for communicating with man. He's God's messenger. And it says, Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there for this?" He said, this is when he said, "Your wife is going to have a child." He says, "I'm an old man, and my wife is beyond childbearing years." And the angel answered him and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to tell you this good news, that you're going to have a child, you know. But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day it happens." So basically, he became dumb right there. You can read all about it. So he couldn't speak until his wife Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. It is the same Gabriel. He also spoke to somebody else, Mary. He spoke to Mary. This is interesting as well. I'll just read a few verses here. And he told Mary that she would have a son. And, of course, that her son would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was Gabriel that came and brought the good news. Let me read it. Luke 1 verse 26. It says, 6 months after Elizabeth, that is John the Baptist's mother, had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. Remember, he's a messenger angel. And the angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord, and the Lord is with you." And she was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. And the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, just as I was reading that, it's as if this angel, Gabriel, must have just been like a person. You know, you don't see her responding about, this angel and the ground shook and so on. It's like she had a conversation. And she was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what the greeting meant. And the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So those are the three angels that are mentioned by name that we see in the Word of God. Now, just another question. Do angels have the power to make themselves visible to men? This is interesting. Do they? Do they have the power to make themselves visible to men? And the answer is yes, folks. They do. They do. There are many cases right throughout the Bible where angels appeared to man. I want to read the one in Luke 2 verse 8. And I chose this one because it is quite appropriate for this time of the year. Right, we know the story of the shepherds. Let me read it. Luke 2 verse 8, it says, "And the shepherds were in the field near Bethlehem. And they were taking turns watching their flock during the night. And the angel from the Lord suddenly appeared." So this angel suddenly appears to them. "And the glory of the Lord filled the area with light." So in this case, God's glory was just light. The glory of God was light. "And they were terrified. And the angel said to them, 'Hey, don't be afraid. I have good news for you, a message that will fill everyone with joy. Today your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes." Well, swaddling clothes basically are just strips of cloth. "You'll find a baby in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, remember, first there was one angel that appeared. Now it says, "And suddenly a large army of angels appeared with the angel." So it started off with one. Now suddenly they were able to see that there was an army that was with this angel as well. "And they were praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who have his goodwill.'" In Hebrews 13 verse 2 it says, And this has happened, I'm sure, to many of us sitting here today. It says, don't forget to show hospitality to believers that you don't know. Don't forget to show hospitality to believers that you don't know. By doing this, some believers have shown hospitality to angels without being aware of it. So, think back on those times where you have met somebody and kind of they were there, you knew that they were believers, because it says, you know, believers, and then suddenly they weren't and you've made no contact with them again. So we can see in the Word of God that angels do appear to people from time to time. So we need to be mindful of it, because even today, that knock on your door of that person that's come to visit you, who knows? Huh? Who knows? It might be an angel that's come to spend some time with you. So we can see again that angels appear to man and they also kind of disappear. Another interesting question when we look at this, how many angels are there? Have you ever wondered? How many angels did God make? Well, first of all, we know that 33 1/3% of them are no longer there, because they were cast out of heaven, a third of them. They were here. But how many angels are there? And the Bible talks about the host of angels, and it talks about the host of angels being innumerable. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, celebrating. In Revelation 5:11 it says, then I looked and I heard around the throne. So there are angels that are around the throne of God right now. And we know they're singing, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. And I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels. Now it tells us how many there are. Numbering myriads of myriads. Right? And thousands of thousands. Well, I suppose if you like me, you want to know how much a myriad is. So I went and I looked it up. How much is a myriad? Looked in the Oxford Dictionary. And a myriad is defined as an infinite great number. So it is just so many that you can't count. So we can see that there are myriads upon myriads upon myriads upon thousands. So there are a lot of angels, in other words. Are angels powerful? Are they? Are they powerful? Listen to what it says. Because they are powerful. In fact, the Bible says that they are mighty in strength. It says in Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, give praise to the Lord, you His angels, who are great in strength. Doing His orders. You see why they've been created. Doing His orders and waiting for His voice. We also see an interesting one in 2 Kings 19, verse 35. It says, and that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Syrians. And when the people rose early in the morning, and behold, there were just dead bodies. Okay, so are they powerful? Yes, they are. In what areas do angels minister? Right? They minister to the redeemed of the Lord. And who are the redeemed of the Lord? Are you born again? Then you can put up your hand. That's you. That's me. All right. Okay. So angels minister to us. They are ministering spirits. We see in Hebrews 1 verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake, listen here, for those who are to inherit salvation? Who's going to inherit salvation? Us. Amen. Revelation 22 verse 9, it says, and the angel said, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you. So this is what the angel said. You know, hey, Eddie, if I'm the angel, hey, I'm a fellow servant with you. Fellow servants, like we are as well. Last week, do you remember I spoke about when Jesus was in the wilderness? And he was in the wilderness and he kept on saying, as Satan came to him in the wilderness, he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written," using the word of God as a weapon. And the last time we see in Matthew 4, verse 10, and Jesus said to him, he said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him. When Jesus said, "Be gone," the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and they were ministering to him. You remember, Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. He hadn't had anything to drink for 40 days. So he must have been quite weak. Psalm 34, verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him," fear the Lord, "and delivers them." Folks, we have angels that are encamped around us. Your angels encamp around you, protecting you. And I actually looked at a couple of different translations just of that end bit. "And delivers you," or "delivers them." And that means keeps you safe. The angels encamp around you to keep you safe. It also means removes them from danger. So your angels encamp around you, removing you from danger. So you might be going that way, and then there's a taxi parked in front of you, and you get very irritated about it, okay, because you can't, but then you go off that way. It could be that your angels are just making sure that, knowing that there's problems, big problems, if you continue straight, that you go off to the left or go off to the right. All right. And also, it's interesting talking about angels. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah was fed by an angel. The Bible says he was fed by an angel that sustained him for 40 days when he went on that 290-kilometer journey. But he was fed by an angel. How are we doing? All right. Angels, this is important for us, this next point I want to make here, that angels can cause the impossible to happen for you and for me in the natural realm. So often we think, you know, because they are spirit beings, that they can't really impact on our lives, but they can. They can do things for you. There was, Ian Whedon shared here a little while ago, and I remember Ian saying, and we had a discussion about this afterwards, Ian planted quite a few churches in Zimbabwe. And he said once they were having a meal with people in the church. They didn't have a lot of money, right? So they prepared this meal, and it was enough for however many of them came. And then just more and more and more and more people arrived. And he said it was just incredible that that meal that would have probably been enough for that small group was able to feed the whole group, right? Where angels, you know, they start to manifest or start to assist us in the natural realm as well. I'll give you an example out of the Bible. In Acts 12, verse 7, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him." This is now Peter. And a light shone in his cell. So here's Peter, and Peter's in jail. And Peter is in jail, and he's got his hands are in chains, the Bible says. And he struck Peter on the side, and he woke him up saying, "Get up, quickly. Get up, Peter." And the chains fell from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Remember, got him out of prison. Just, folks, we need to be expectant as believers. Again, it's all about Jesus, but this is part of what our inheritance is, even while we are here on planet Earth. So angels, we can see, protect believers as well. Let me read to you, who knows the story of Daniel? Do you remember Daniel and the lion's den? So what happened, they took Daniel and they put him in the lion's den with all these big furry kittens all around him. And it says in Daniel 6, verse 22, obviously they wanted these lions to gobble up old Daniel. It says in verse 22, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths." Imagine that. Okay, kitty. Psst. That was it. These kitty cats could do nothing. These lions could do nothing. God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. We also know that straight after that, when Daniel came out, they threw some of the guards, they threw into the lion's den. The Bible says before they even hit the ground, they were devoured. Right? There we go. Angels protecting us. In Psalm 91 verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he, God, will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So it's God's angels that are encamped around you. Now, I just want to say something briefly. I'm nearly done here. But there was a teaching that was flying around some years back when we first got born again, that you now tell your angels what to do. Okay? You tell them to stand here and you command them to do this and I demand that you do that. And this was folks, if you look at Scripture, we ask God, Lord, won't you release your angels to go and do those things? Okay? I don't really believe that we are in a position to start telling our angels what to do. Let's rely on the Lord. Also, angels bring answers to prayer. We see in Daniel 10 verse 12. It says, and the angel said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I've come because of your words. Daniel, I've come because of your words. So it's interesting that the angel came, right? Daniel, remember Daniel prayed? And there was no answer for 21 days. No answer. Now he arrives and he said, I've arrived. I heard your words. God heard your words. And basically God sent me. Listen. Then he says, why it took him 21 days? He says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, who was Michael? Okay, the archangel who was responsible, you know, war, pending wars. He had an army around him. He came, one of the chief princes, and he came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia. So you can see what took place. If you could look into the spiritual realm there. There's Daniel praying, asking God for something. God hasn't answered. 21 days, the angel arrives and he says, listen, I came with your answer, but I was held up over Persia. He talks about the kings of Persia. The prince of Persia is in the natural, right, on earth. The kings of Persia in the heavenlies. They withheld him. There was a battle where eventually Michael, the archangel, had to come and assist so that he could come through and bring an answer to that prayer. Angels, this is an interesting one. So often we say, right, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to evangelize and I'm going to go and find somebody to tell about Jesus. Is that true? Probably is true. You know, we can do that. But also, angels lead sinners to people like you and me that are ready to actually share the gospel. It says, and the angel told Cornelius where to find Simon Peter, who would be able to tell him how to get saved. You can read all about that in Acts 10 verse 1 to 6. So the angel told the person, go to that person over there, and you know, kind of brought them together so that they could receive salvation. Here's a question. Should we worship angels? Definitely not. Definitely not. We are actually forbidden to worship angels. It says in Revelation 19 verse 10, and I fell down at his feet to worship him, to worship the angel. But he said to me, the angel said to me, you must not do that. You mustn't worship me. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, he says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So folks, even if an archangel appears to you, make sure you don't worship him. All right, very clear in the word. All right, so just in closing, just a couple of pointers here to some interesting facts before I close. The first one is that the church will judge the angels. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:3, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life?" So we'll be judging them. Also, angels are also, it says, knows the names of Christians who witness. Do you know that angels in heaven know? If you witness and you tell people about Jesus, do you know that angels will know your name? This is what Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 8. "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God." So if you want the angels to know your name, go out there and tell people about Jesus. Also, we see in the Bible that angels rejoice over one sinner that gets saved. There's a party that goes on when somebody receives salvation. And again, this is Jesus saying in Luke 15:10, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Folks, I trust that this, what I've shared here this morning, has given us just a better understanding. It's in the Bible, as I say, more than 250 times, so we need to know this stuff. But again, our focus must never be on angels and our focus must never be on demons. Our focus has to be on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All the time. That's where we focus. And His name is Jesus. It's good that we know a little bit more about this, but all the praise and all the honor and all the glory go to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just thank You that we can see in Your Word all these things. Lord, You said that we need to share the whole counsel of Your Word. And we see all this. Father, thank You for revealing it to us, for showing us. But Lord, we continue to ask that You assist us in keeping our focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where all the praise and all the honor and the glory goes. So we say thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.